Hey guys, this is Rob Paulson, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Today on MWR, we'll be discussing a Stephen Hawking biopic, Who Could Be the Next Hamlet, a Robin Williams sequel you won't believe, as well as discussing what many people believe was the worst movie of 2013. All that and more coming up on MWR Weekly. Thanks for joining us here on MWire. As usual, joining me today is Nathan Adolfo Shabadoo. Hello.
Hello.
And Fridley Scent. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
And we apologize. We were not with you guys last week. We had some issues come up, but we are back, and we are covering 2 weeks' worth of movie goodness. And as always, we start off with the box office. So we're actually going to take a quick look at the weekend before last, and then this last weekend, just so we don't miss anything. The previous weekend, which was April 11th through the 13th, not a surprise, Captain America was still reigning supreme at number one. And then it was followed by three new films. Rio 2, which Captain America only beat by about 2 million. And then Oculus, which was way down, about 25 million less. And then Draft Day. And it was rounded up with the top five with Noah. So we had Captain America at 41 million, Rio 2 at 39, and then, like I said, it dropped into the 12s, 9s, and 7s, and so forth. We weren't 100% sure. You know, animated films sometimes do have a shot of having a pretty big weekend that first weekend, but Captain America held strong, and not a lot else that was surprising in that previous week, but I just wanted to get at least those top dogs out there so that we kind of had a running total. And then getting more in depth this past weekend, we had yet another victory from Captain America, this time holding off the crowd by about 3 million. So Captain America, the Winter Soldier, came in at number one at 25 and a half million, which means that it has broken the 200 million mark, which according to Dan and I's 2014 forecast, if you break the 200 million mark, you're probably in the running to be the top 10 highest grossing films of the year. So Captain America most likely will be in that top 10. It's already surpassed its budget in just its third week. That's good for Marvel, but what isn't good for Marvel these days? Heaven is for Real debuted at number two there, just 3 million less than Captain America. Rio 2 holding strong at 22 million again. Not quite at its budget yet, but it's had 75 million in 2 weeks, so that's not bad for Rio 2. Transcendence, the newest film there from Johnny Depp, opened at number four. That's got to be disappointing. It made 10 million. It's got a long way to get to that 100 million budget. And then A Haunted House 2 rounds up our top five, with Draft Day and Oculus, Noah, and Divergent all dropping out of the top five. Anything surprising you guys as far as Captain America holding the top spot 3 weeks running?
I'm not that surprised.
I think it's important. I think it's important to note that A Haunted House 2 has doubled its budget in its first week, and it's had a budget of $4 million. And it's up to eight, so that's a financial success for that one.
That is true. Heaven is for Real also more than doubled its budget in its first week. It only had a $12 million budget. It brought in that about 29, so 29 and a half so far, so that did good. Other opening movies this week, Bears, the documentary slash nature, whatever it was that you want to call that, opening at number 10. Just under 5 million. I've never heard of Two States. That made $1 million. And I've also never heard of Fading Gigolo. But it opened in five theaters this past weekend.
Hmm.
Fading Gigolo.
You don't want to be a Fading Gigolo, man.
Also opening in one theater, coming in at 72nd, Kid Cannabis.
Way down there.
Oh, man. He loves the Smoke the doobies.
As far as your major drops this week, there wasn't really anything huge. The Raid 2 in its fourth week dropped about 62%. Need for Speed down about 57%. That is not going to make its budget, thankfully. And 300 Rise of Empire, which had a budget of 110, is right now sitting at 105.5 million. And it dropped way down, so it might not quite reach that budget until you factor in maybe some of the overseas and DVD sales, etc. But as far as just opening in the theater, it just missed probably what it was expecting to do there. Anything looking forward? I mean, we've had Captain America at the top spot for 3 weeks in a row. Coming out this next week, we got the Paul Walker movie, Brick Mansions, The Other Woman, The Quiet Ones. Not much. I mean, I would say it's probably pretty safe that Captain America is going to hold on to that spot again.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see which movie finally comes around. Probably going to be, Spider-Man that knocks Captain America off of the number one spot eventually.
No, totally. If it doesn't, if it doesn't lose it in the next 2 weeks, Spider-Man's going to.
Yeah, right. So we will keep a track of that. As far as our yearly totals, we haven't done this in a while. So looking at the yearly rankings so far, our top five, we have The Lego Movie is still at number one with just over 250 million. Captain America is now our new number two at 200. And then Ride Along, staying in that top five at 134, Divergent at 133, and rounding up the top five is Mr. Peabody and Sherman at 107, with 300 right behind it at 105. So those are your leaders so far for 2014. Getting into our news stories, we do have a lot to cover. We're going to touch on some stuff that might be from a little over a week ago and some stuff from just this past week. But going into the headlines, it seems to be the trend, I guess, with movies that are based on books that are for young adults that eventually you decide to split books into multiple movies. I was wondering what your guys' thought. Is that just a money grab when we split books in? The latest one here, and the reason this is a headline, is because they've decided that the final Divergent sequel is actually going to be split into two parts. So instead of a trilogy of films, we're now going to have a quadrilogy.
Is that the term?
That's what they say in the article. So I think there's like Divergent and Allegiant and Insurgent. Allegiant's the third book, apparently, and now there's going to be Allegiant Part 1 and Allegiant Part 2. I haven't read the books, but I can't imagine that there's that much that in those books that it really needs to be made into a second movie. Is this? I mean, Twilight's done it. Harry Potter's done it. And now Divergent has done it. Is this something that is going to happen more and more, or is this, I don't know, it just seems like a cash grab to me.
I was going to say, like, when they first announced Harry Potter was doing it, hello?
Terribly sorry, but Skype decided to glitch out on us, so we lost a few minutes of sound. Let's pick back up where we were talking about new Marvel franchise characters.
Nate, is there anything you would like to see from the X-Men universe?
Yeah! I fucking love Gambit! I can't wait to see a Gambit movie. I don't even care if Channing Tatum does it. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah!
Actually, about Channing Tatum as Gambit, I think we're going to talk about that more later, but what, like, I think, in my mind, Gambit's more like a, what's his, I want to call him Garfield Logan, but that's Beast Boy. Andrew Garfield? Like,
right.
Yeah, he's like, he should be skinny and not muscly. I know that every picture of him is like, he's got like a 12 pack.
Right.
And Channing Tatum just looks too broad. I, you know, I expect him to be like a tall, lanky guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe I'd love to see him try. You know who I want to see? And I mentioned a little while ago when we were talking about X-Men Apocalypse is Blink. Like, I like her character a lot, and I'm 99% sure with the newest trailer she's in Days of Future Past. But I think ultimately from the Marvel Mutants section of the Marvel comics, what I'd like to see is I'd love to see a Multiple Man movie.
Oh, yeah.
Spin off into... Yeah, spin off... Wait, what'd you say?
Jamie Madrox, right?
Madrox, yeah. I'd love to see that, the spin-off into a Peter David X-Factor movie, because for the longest time, X-Factor was the only comic book I was picking up anymore.
It's really good.
It's really good. And so if they could spin that, that'd be great. But they would have to change who he was in X2, was he in? He was in X2 or The Last Stand. I don't remember which one. But they'd have to, you know, change that because he was too young and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, a Madrox into X-Factor would be great.
All right, and we'll have to see if anybody else has X-Men characters that they would like to see spun off. They can sound off on which ones those would be. It'd be interesting to see them do a Deadpool correctly.
Right.
Yeah.
As well. All right, going into more Marvel and DC stuff. We apparently are looking at a release date standoff. It's going to be interesting to see if and when one of these films budges. And what I'm talking about is the Batman versus Superman, or whatever we're calling that film, is basically right now set to release the same weekend as Captain America 3.
Really?
And that is something that does not usually happen. Usually they try to avoid going head-to-head on the same opening weekends. First of all, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to either of them because they're both going to get a hit because people have to choose. But we'll have to see. I would assume eventually one of them will say we have a new date. But it's a long way off from now. It's 2015 here, May of 2015, so we're a good year before that's even going to take place. But I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of like a prideful thing where they're afraid to be the one that moves or what, but I don't think I would want to go against Captain America 3 if I was Batman versus Superman, The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, whatever. Definitely not.
Yeah, if they've seen any of the people's reactions to Cap 2, they're going to know they don't stand a chance.
Right.
If they made Batman versus Superman like Rio 2, that might do a little bit better. They made it an animated movie.
That released a few weeks after Cap and then still didn't topple it?
Yeah. And it would do better than the actual movie would do.
I don't know, man. People like Ben Affleck. People like Batman. People like that last Superman movie didn't do bad, right?
So I don't think it did bad. I think it critically did bad, but...
Yeah, no, I thought it did well money-wise. And so, like, you know...
Yeah.
So I would expect, like I said, the DC will probably be the ones that move. Then they need all things. They need all the stars to align on this one. They're putting kind of all their eggs in one basket, and I don't think they want to be dealing with something like that. I don't think Captain America or Marvel is too afraid of going against anything in the world right now outside of Star Wars.
yeah.
No one goes against Star Wars, but outside of that, I don't think Marvel would shy away from anything. So. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. As far as one of the things I had talked about in the opening, apparently there is a Stephen Hawking biopic coming out with a possible November release, and the name that has been tied to it as far as the starring role is Eddie Redmayne.
Is that like Redman Methaman? What are you talking about?
No, Redmayne, as is, that is his last name.
Oh.
Scored by the RZA.
That would be interesting, though. I didn't know there was a Stephen Hawking film coming out. I guess maybe it could be interesting, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
You don't sound very convinced, Kevin.
No, I'm not.
I would love to see a good Stephen Hawking movie.
The only time I've ever seen anything about Stephen Hawking in the last 5 or 10 years has been more in the world of parodies. And
oh, sure.
Family Guy type stuff, Saturday Night Live type stuff. But maybe he deserves a serious take on his life.
I think he does deserve a serious. Probably more than, like, Steve Jobs. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's probably for that's probably pretty true. And speaking of Steve Jobs, thank you for the transition there. We reported a week or two ago that David Fincher was going to be involved with the Aaron Sorkin's film on Steve Jobs here, but apparently that is not going to happen. Fincher was demanding a fee of $10 million up front, as well as considerable control over the film's proposed marketing campaign, and that is not something that they were willing to give. So Sony will be looking to replace David Fincher and find a new director. And David Fincher obviously was all about Christian Bale playing the role of Steve Jobs, so maybe a new director will choose somebody else to play Steve Jobs. Or maybe we will have the two most awkward cast Steve Jobs people in that you could possibly come up with in Hollywood, with Ashton Kutcher and Christian Bale.
Johnny Knoxville would be marginally worse.
That's true. Johnny Knoxville involved in any type of film right now would be worse. Oh, wait. He is. An interesting news article here. I did not, again, know that this was even something that was being considered, but a big screen reimagining of Battlestar Galactica is gearing up over at Universal. Apparently, the writer, Jack Pegler, who wrote Transcendence, which is not doing well in theaters right now, has signed on to write the film version of the science fiction franchise. According to this article, they say don't expect it to resemble the TV show at all.
And any of them.
Or any of them. So apparently it's going to be its own thing. So maybe only in name will it be Battlestar Galactica. I don't know. But have either of you guys watched any of the television series?
I have not.
I have not, and I regret that.
Really? I tried really hard to watch the TV series, the original Battlestar Galactica, I believe. I could be wrong. It was playing on the BBC here a year or two ago, and I thought there's two science fiction franchises that I've always wanted to watch and give a chance and watch through, and one of them was Battlestar and the other one was Stargate. And it just happened that I had been scrolling through the channels and I came across Battlestar Galactica on BBC and it was episode one. I'm like, wow, I actually hit it like right at the beginning. And so I started recording it and I watched about 15 to 20 episodes, I believe, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
That's a good gauge. I think 20 episodes in, you're like, you know whether or not you like the show.
Right, and I really wanted to give it a chance because I'm like, I really like sci-fi and I should like this, but the pacing was so unbearably slow that I just could. It wasn't like you couldn't wait till the next episode because you wanted to figure out what happened with this character or that character. It was like 10 episodes later, you still haven't figured out what's going on with this character and you no longer even care.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm up for any type of science fiction film, so whatever. I'll give it a shot, but maybe it not being based on the TV series would be a good thing for me.
Well, I don't think they can pace it the same way as the TV series.
I'm like 20 minutes in this movie, and I don't even care about these characters anymore.
I'm done. And some people might have seen the news recently coming out, speaking of Marvel earlier, of Amazing Spider-Man 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past connection. I know people were getting very excited because apparently the Amazing Spider-Man 2 is going to contain a credit scene of X-Men Days of Future Past. And people were starting to think, wait a second, are we actually going to get to start seeing these two universes, you know, kind of collide, and how did they get, you know, past all of the contractual stuff and legal stuff, etc. But it turns out that the director Mark Webb of Amazing Spider-Man 2 had an existing contract with Fox Searchlight following his work on 500 Days of Summer, and Sony wanted him back for Spidey 2, but he was tied to Fox for another film. So what happened was, is Fox agreed to let Webb head to Sony as long as Sony would promote Fox's new X-Men movie. So this is the way of Sony promoting the X-Men movie, by putting an end credit scene at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2. So those hoping that these two worlds would start to intermingle, I apologize, but that is not going to happen. But weird still to have a an X-Men clip at the end of Spider-Man, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like it's just, we're contractually obligated them to play our trailer after their movie. Because it's like, we're already going to get a trailer before it, because that's what every movie theater is going to do, is cross, you know, do that. So, like, it's so weird to me that they're like, haha, we got them, another trailer. Like, even if it is a slightly longer one.
Yeah.
Or technically, it could be a shorter one. Because, I mean, the trailer is going to be like a minute long, and this one... There's been some in-credit scenes that have just been like, you know, 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. And some have been really pointless, and some are very kind of intriguing. So we'll have to see what kind of snippet they give to us. But I don't know. I wouldn't think that they'd want to... I don't know. Like, do you really want to have a great snippet that then starts to, like, gain traction and then people are going to see Amazing Spider-Man 2 just to see that?
No one's going to watch, sit through a 2.5 hour movie to see 30 seconds that they could look up on YouTube.
But, I mean, if they were on the fence, like, I don't know, I kind of want to see it. Because, I mean, I know a guy at work who did not want to see Captain America until he heard all of the praise for it. So, mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know what happens, so, I mean, I wouldn't discount it. Not that it's going to happen, considering it's going to be just another trailer or whatever.
Yeah. Moving on to some sequels, remakes, reboot news. For those of you that liked, or for the one person on the planet who did not like the Lego Movie, Lego Movie 2 has some news coming out here that apparently it will have more female characters. Apparently there was some backlash to the number of male characters versus female characters in the film, so expect a lot more female Lego characters in the Lego Movie 2. Nate, you liked the Lego Movie. Any problems with there being more females in the second one?
Problems with there being more females? No, not at all. I'm just trying to think about the first movie, and I'm trying to think of... Like, if there... I mean, there was a bad female character in it. The Unikitty. Like, horse. Yeah, the Unikitty.
Wildstyle.
That wasn't... Wildstyle was cool.
Right.
She was neato.
Yeah,
there's
Wildstyle, Unikitty, and then there was a brief cameo of Wonder Woman.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess there wasn't too much female representation in there. Of course, it is a Lego movie in which there are toys, which is weird. It's weird to think
Girls
about, like, sexism.
Toys.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying...
Cartoon
like,
Network
it's weird.
Says that.
Oh my god, yeah, with Young Justice.
Yep.
Jesus. But no, it's weird to think about, like, you know, their female representation in, like, toy land. I don't know. I guess the first Toy Story, like, didn't have a single female character, so they amended that a little bit.
Whoa. They had Mrs. Potato Lady.
No, that was in the second one.
Dang.
They had Bo Peep in the first Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. No. She got captured like ladies should.
Shut up, man.
No, it's funny, actually. If they were to make a Toy Story or a Lego movie about my toy collection, it would be something like 80% lady toys.
Well,
which
you're
sounds
weird.
Really creepy.
But you promise
it definitely does.
I promise it's probably not creepy.
It's probably not. A little bit, but probably not.
This next one will get my friend Joel very excited here. Because
good.
For some reason, he's seen this movie probably 15 times, and he has yet to come up with a valid reasoning for it. But apparently, there will be a sequel to the reboot of Karate Kid.
Seen the reboot of Karate Kid?
He has seen the Karate Kid starring...
Jaden.
Will Smith's kid.
Right.
Jaden.
Yeah, he's seen that film probably 15 times.
Why? I mean, I could understand watching it, because it's not bad. It's not a terrible movie. I've seen it.
But he's seen it like 15 times.
Why? Does he watch it like when he's...
He has yet to give me a good reasoning for it.
He likes
Does he
Jaden.
Have children?
No. So apparently the director of the film Crazy is Breck Eisner has signed on to direct both Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith in a Karate Kid sequel, which that whole franchise is now getting confusing because it's a sequel of a reboot of I don't know.
It's the world we live in. No, like I want Jackie Chan in as many movies as he can do, even though he's getting old. I want him doing stuff, so I'm all for it.
And Will Smith just wants Jaden Smith to be in a movie that's successful. So
yeah, he really does.
And he tried to do it with him, and that didn't work, so now he's letting Jackie Chan take the reins.
But, I mean, everyone could see was After Earth. Like, you could tell from the trailers that that one wasn't going to do well.
No.
Like, they, like, super computer de-aged Will Smith, and it was like, ugh.
Really? Did you watch it, Matt?
No, actually, I watched – that was as one of the rare moments in which I watched a trailer before I saw the – like, because I don't have television or general access to television, so I don't see a whole lot of trailers until I started this podcast. And it was one of the, like, four trailers I saw the year it came out, and I could just watch it, and I was like, well, that's not how evolution works, and that's not what Will Smith looks like, and that's wrong, and it just really bothered me. Like, that trailer really bothered me.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it at one point, and then I stopped wanting to see it, and have yet to see it, so maybe one day I'll watch it. Speaking of what I talked about in the intro, a Robin Williams reboot sequel that you may not have ever guessed. For those of you that did not see this past week, Fox is developing Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Bring it on.
Woo-hoo! 21 years after the first film, Robin Williams will be back to play the role of Mrs. Doubtfire. And Matt, you had a good question when we were talking about this.
I got a few things, but, one was that, like, he's old enough that he doesn't really, like, he just needs to throw on a wig. Like, he is Doubtfire's age, so, like, you know, makeup department doesn't have to do nearly as much work. Another one is that, like, I was reading that article, and apparently this is not the first time that Miss Doubtfire 2 has been mentioned. And it's like, it's the sequel the world's looking for, I guess. We're begging for it.
You posed a really good question, though, when it came to Mrs. Doubtfire having a sequel because of the ending of the original Mrs. Doubtfire.
Which was, who does he need to fool anymore?
He's already, like, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, yeah, everyone knows he's Mrs. Doubtfire. I think doesn't he get back with his wife at the end of that one? Like, isn't it like the super Hollywood happy ending where it's like, oh, it turns out you are good with our kids. We're going to get married again, because that's how love works. And, like, maybe that's what the sequel should be, is that, like, they realize that they still don't like each other, and that if he's a good parent, it doesn't mean he's good enough. Although, I guess the kids are going to be, like, 40 now.
Right, exactly. So they're just going to be super old, so it doesn't even matter anymore.
I was going to be tricking his kids.
No, that'd he's gonna
be great. Like, if, like, his kids are like, Dad's crazy because he's Robin Williams and he dresses up like old ladies, so we're not gonna let him see his grandchildren, so he has to, like, become a nanny to see his grandchildren, and it's just depressing.
No. You know what the plot of this one's gonna be? They gotta up the ante. They gotta make the stakes even higher. So now, Robin Williams is super old. He can't voice act anymore because, you know, he just is dumb or whatever. And so he's like, you know what I was really good at? Being a lady and being a maid. So he applies to this crazy, like, hotel that's, like, the biggest in the country. And then you just watch him be a maid and be an old lady. And then, I don't know, shenanigans happen in a crazy, expensive hotel.
So, like, it has nothing to do with his family anymore. It's just,
no.
Like, he's like, I can't do my regular job, so I'm going to just do the job that I did for a brief period. I like it.
Or he literally has a health issue where he forgets and he reverts back to actually thinking.
Oh my God!
That would be so good! It just became 90s in here.
like he has amnesia and just thinks he's Mrs. Doubtfire.
And his family's trying to convince him that he's not that person. Chris Columbus is back online to direct this one. He directed the original one. He's also the director of Home Alone, Home Alone 2. Harry Potter, two of the Harry Potter films, Rent, most recently Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, and he's also apparently the director of the 2015 animated film Pixels. So at least they got the original director back and the original star back.
That's cool.
I know they've said, go ahead.
I'm super looking forward to this movie. Like, I don't care. It's just going to be fun and weird. Like, it's going to be either a train wreck or going to be hilarious. And either way, I'm going to be happy about it.
I know that they did say that the girl from the film, the younger girl that was in Mrs. Doubtfire, has said that she will not be having anything to do with it.
That's fine. We don't need her.
They said it's 20 years. They could get someone that barely looks like her and be like, yeah, it's right. Probably
like, yeah, you were a kid. True. We don't need you anymore. Anyways, on to other sequel news. Apparently some stuff involving Jerry Bruckheimer. He's hoping to shoot Beverly Hills Cop 4 this year, as well as talking about Pirates of the Caribbean 5. So, quote from Bruckheimer, we're going to take Eddie Murphy back to Detroit. He's going to be in Beverly Hills, so we're going to have some fun with him.
Huh.
That doesn't make sense to me.
He's going to be in Beverly Hills, Detroit.
I guess. I don't know. Would you guys be interested in the Beverly Hills Cop 4? Have you seen the first three?
I didn't know there were three. I thought there were only two.
So did I
haven't seen them. All I know is that there's a song that goes like...
It's a good song.
What about the Pirates franchise? Do they need another film?
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
Apparently, according to this article quoted here, the studio would, quote, be happy to have Keith Richards return as well.
I don't know about that part, but the rest
was,
of it.
Was he in it?
Yeah, he's in the third one.
I've only seen the first two. Well, maybe I've seen the first one. Really? I need to see more pirate movies?
Yeah, dude.
Don't you love pirates?
I agree I need to see more pirate movies. I meant Pirates with Johnny Depp.
You're like one of the biggest pirate fans I know, and you haven't seen all the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous.
But
no, there's no defense of this.
Like, they're Disney movies, Nate. They're good. They're fun, and yeah, they've got pirates in them.
I haven't set aside the time.
Liar.
That's a more reasonable argument than like, well, I just don't like good movies or pirates.
No, I'm not saying they're terrible movies. I don't know. I haven't seen them. I'll watch them. I'll change
one
that.
And two and three and four can't possibly do anything different.
But it's like, what else can they do? I don't know.
Dude, the fourth one, like the opening sequence is just like, it's so entirely aware that it's like, we're Pirates 4, you're watching this because you like the silly things, so we're going double silly.
Cool, cool.
Like, it's just shenanigans. It's, you should watch it, it's funny.
I'll watch it. I don't own it, but I'll watch it. Kevin, do you own it?
Someone.
I do not own all of them. Okay. I apologize.
Eh. No big deal.
No big deal. And perhaps the first time here in NY Weekly history, we have a news story about a reboot.
Only Michael Bay, guys.
Leave it to Michael Bay to try to ruin whatever he can get his hands on. Apparently a reboot of Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah, that one.
He already did it once.
Wait, no, he didn't do it once. Did he do it once?
Yeah. According to the article, he did it in 2009.
Oh. Or at least he was the one driving it. Maybe he wasn't the actual, like, director or writer, so to speak. But I believe he was at least the one, because he had the rights to that film that he acquired back in 2009 when the other one came out. So apparently a new Friday the 13th is heading our way in 2015. I don't really have an opinion.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, like, horror fan. I mean, only around Halloween do I care about horror movies. It's weird.
Most of the world agrees with you, so it's not that strange.
Like every time around Halloween, I get the weird, like, itch to, I want to be scared. And I'll watch a dumb movie and be like, that wasn't scary. Oh, well. And then I'll have a nightmare.
That sounds like misery.
Yeah.
Like, I hate horror movies, so the idea of being compulsioned into one.
There's something interesting. Like, it's a feeling of being frightened that is fun for some people. I find it fun, but It, like probably the scaredest I've, or the scaredest, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. The most scared I've ever been has been like reading like bullshit creepypasta. Just because it's like, this could have happened, but it probably didn't because it's bullshit. But
who was phone?
Who was phone? That was a good one. Kevin, do you like to be scared?
I don't dislike being scared. What I don't like about horror films usually is the ones – I like certain genres, subgenres of horror films. I don't like the ones that are just blood and gore.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like it's got to be like psychological or something.
Yeah, it's got to have some suspense or a little mystery or psychological. I don't just want to see somebody stab somebody 1,000 times. It just
doesn't float my boat. Like all those like Hostel
Human Centipede
is not cool. No. Not a huge fan of those.
Not a big fan of the people that thought of Human Centipede in the first place.
Were they like Norwegian or something?
I don't know. Getting into some casting call news. We talked a little bit about King Arthur becoming a new revitalized franchise. Apparently Guy Ritchie, will be the one directing King Arthur for Warner Brothers. Now I know the earlier article we read about a few weeks ago talked about, you know, like a 5 or 6 film deal. I assume that this is the same company and same thing that we're talking about, and this would be the first of the series, I guess. So if it does well, they have bigger plans for King Arthur as a franchise, and Guy Ritchie is the one that will be leading the helm here at the beginning. I guess I have no problem with it. I'm not super up to date on what Guy Ritchie has been doing lately in his life. But I like King Arthur, so I will give it a shot. How do you guys feel about King Arthur in general?
I love King Arthur.
I'm not a fan of King Arthur.
Really?
Yeah, I could leave him.
You're not a fan of Lancelot?
What? Galahad?
Sure. Like, Monty Python and the Holy Grail's best version. Done.
Well, wow. I need to slap myself in the face because I completely forgot that Guy Ritchie was the guy behind Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows.
Oh, good movies.
Those are good films. He also did, way back in the day, Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. So I'm all for him doing King Arthur. He did justice with Sherlock Holmes, and he can do justice with Lancelot, King Arthur, Guinevere, and Merlin, and all them. How do you not like those characters?
Seriously.
Never cared. I don't know. I just never cared about them.
Did you see that movie where they had Keira Knightley with them?
Did I see it?
Yeah.
No.
You were sitting next to me.
We watched that? Was that King Arthur? There was no magic in that.
There were druids. They painted themselves up, hid in the forest.
Yeah, no,
They also had barbed wire 200 years before it was invented. That's magic.
That is magic.
And they had it attached to arrows somehow. It was weird.
That was okay. That was an okay movie. But I don't know, I've just never cared about the lore of King Arthur. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's hard to argue against more fantasy movies. We already get not enough of them.
Yeah.
What do you mean? We get plenty of fantasy movies.
No, we get lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of sci-fi, at least, right around now.
Yeah, there's been a sci-fi resurgence, but not so much a fantasy resurgence. And speaking of superheroes, even though nobody was, the Spider-Man spinoff, the Sinister Six, apparently has found itself a director. Drew Goddard apparently has confirmed the role of director for the Sinister Six film. He has actually not done much directing. The only film he's directed before the Sinister Six was The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, it's a great movie.
He's done a lot of writing and producing. He wrote for some TV series, Daredevil, Lost, Alias, Angel, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He also helped with the screenplay for World War Z. So apparently that is your man for the Sinister Six film. I don't know. I think that's decent. I think he's got some kind of science fiction / fantasy background as far as his writing goes. So maybe he can be a good director. But like I said, he's only directed one film, The Cabin in the Woods, so not a lot to judge him on. But Nate, you said you like Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah, definitely. Matt, have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No. What Halloween did you watch that around?
That I didn't never watch. I think I watched that in like a March of some year. I don't know.
Isn't that one of those horror movies?
Yeah, but it's way more interesting than just a horror movie. There's so much more going on that it's really good.
Can we put your clip where you said about the Halloween stuff right back to back with this clip? I'm just
why
we should use the Hollywood magic.
I don't wait. Why did I contradict myself or something?
No. Well, kind of, but no.
No, it would just be funny.
Okay, whatever. But seriously, though,
fake editing choices.
We're not editing this. This is going live.
That's fine. I think, is it the Sinister Six movie coming out in between Amazing 3 and 4? Like, so it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm not too worried about this guy who's done one movie coming back to do another one in 3 years.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's coming out between 3 and 4 or coming out between 2 and 3.
You can't. I thought I had heard, and I could totally be wrong, in, you know, the nebulous movie news of things that don't come out for a few years. I had heard that it was supposed to be more of a redemption flick, like they've all been villains, and now are they supposed to be villains still? So you got to have them appear before that happens.
That makes total sense.
But maybe that news is old and wrong at this point.
We'll figure out. I think that makes more sense, though, so I think you're right. And we always seem to find a way to get some Star Wars news in here, so let's get two of them right in a row. First of all, one character that will appear and one actor that won't appear. The character that will appear is none other than Chewbacca.
Chewbacca!
So Episode 7 will see the return of Chewbacca, and he will be played by the original actor, Peter Mayhew, who is getting up there in age, I would assume. So, yeah, so at least we will have a reuniting of Chewie and Han Solo.
It's a good thing that only Peter Mayhew is getting up there in years, not all of them.
No, not all of them. Although Carrie Fisher, I don't know what they're going to do with her.
Not put her in a bikini. I don't think she looks as bad as everyone's saying.
I think she has her good days and her bad days, and they're going to have to make sure it's a good day.
We've got Disney money.
And I'm hoping it's just one day. Like, she's only going to be shooting for one day.
Ouch.
I don't need to see her too much. Harrison Ford, you can splatter him throughout the film. That'll be fine. I don't need to see a lot of Carrie Fisher. Just not a big fan.
Did they say Mark Hamill's going to be in it?
Yes.
I'm assuming. Yeah. Good.
Yes, he's only going to do voice work, though.
That's not true, but that would be okay with me.
He is the new James Earl Jones.
Oh no!
Isn't
don't me? I am my father.
In the Joker voice. Nate, were you going to say something?
No.
I think you're lying to me, but we'll move on.
I was going to finish what I was saying. What a Wookiee! Go on.
Apparently, the next Bond film has found its villain. Bond 24 villain will be none other than, I can never say his name, Chiwetel Ejiofor, the guy from 12 Years a Slave.
It's perfect.
I've got something to say, which was, you didn't mention Benedict Cumberbatch like you said you would, Gunna.
Oh, I forgot the other part. Before we get to Mr. Ejiofor, Benedict Cumberbatch has ruled himself out of Star Wars Episode 7.
Same. Just like he ruled himself out of Star Trek.
Yes. His quote is, I would have liked a part in JJ's new Star Wars, but it won't happen, sadly. Before also ruling himself out of ever appearing on Doctor Who.
Oh,
that doesn't bother me.
It doesn't. Although, what was I saying? God, who's the guy from There Will Be Blood?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I was saying he should be the next Doctor. After Capaldi.
We don't need the next one cast already. It's too soon.
No, it's true. It's too soon.
We can only cast for 2015 and 2016 right now. So yeah, no Benedict Cumberbatch, but like Matt said, he flat out denied being involved with Star Trek Into Darkness, and that obviously happened. So, but apparently no Doctor Who and no Star Wars for Benedict Cumberbatch. He can only be in so many franchises, I guess.
It's his contract.
I want him to be just like, yes, I'm not in that, and then just keep saying he's not into things and appearing things, so that's like impossible to follow what he's doing. And then just like it just becomes a thing where he's like, what has Benedict Cumberbatch not in this year?
Yeah, that could be an interesting thing that would follow his career, and people would be either all about it or mad as hell. So yeah, James Bond, Daniel Craig again will be the role of James Bond. Apparently a lot of the other people from the last film will be returning, but a new villain with Ejiofor, who basically played the hero in 12 Years a Slave, so it'd be interesting to see him in the villain role. 12 Years a Slave was probably the only thing I've ever seen him in. I don't know if he's been in any notable films outside of that. I'm sure he's been in a few smaller films. But I've never kind of thought of him as a villain, so we'll see. You guys didn't see 12 Years a Slave, did you?
Nope.
All right. That is definitely on the list of things you need to see.
Totally.
So we'll see if he can pull off the villain role. And also going back to some superhero stuff, Channing Tatum reveals that he has discussed playing Gambit with Fox. We already kind of talked about Gambit being a thing, and so Channing Tatum has admitted that he has discussed the possibility with Fox of him playing that role. I'm kind of with you, Matt, even though I'm not as knowledgeable on Gambit and the rest of the X-Men universe. I still feel like someone taller and skinnier, not necessarily skinny, but someone of a different body type might do a better job as far as the physical portrayal of Gambit. So I don't know who that is, but Channing Tatum just seems too muscular for me. Too stocky.
Yeah. Broad.
And the last casting note for today, apparently a Macbeth film is being made, and you'll never guess who is going to play that part of Macbeth. It is none other, apparently, than Michael Fassbender. We've seen him in Prometheus, we've seen him in 12 Years a Slave, and Inglourious Bastards, X-Men, obviously, First Class. So now the possibility of him playing Macbeth, I think it's great. I have jumped on the bandwagon. I will basically support anything Michael Fassbender is involved with. So, and I love Shakespeare, so I'm interested to see the combination of Michael Fassbender and what the take is going to be on this version of Macbeth.
Yeah, I saw a Macbeth out at Navy Pier 3-4 years ago, and it was great, so I'd love to see one with a big screen budget.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that. So that is it for the casting news for us this week. Getting into some trailer talk, there was a lot of trailers released over the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to go through the whole list because there's probably about 15 or so, 15 to 20 of them, but it will be included in the episode post on geekcastradio.com. So if you click on this episode, you'll get to see all the different trailers. We're just going to kind of hit the highlights. Nate, which trailers did you find most intriguing out of the ones you watched for the last 2 weeks?
I'm not going to go straight to like X-Men or whatever, but I want to talk about Chef for a second. I don't know. I really liked, the trailer for Chef. I think it could be a really cool movie. Just, I don't know. Maybe it's because I like food.
I mean, Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. have done some things before together that have turned out pretty well.
some things. It was, like one of those things.
You know, maybe Iron Man, maybe Iron Man 2, maybe Iron Man 3, but...
no, they didn't do...
What's that?
Jon Favreau wasn't in... Well, he was an actor in Iron Man 3. He didn't direct it, though.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. It's like rival chefs, I think, kind of like taking everybody's love of the Food Network and putting it on film.
Seriously.
So yeah, I'm willing to see more of that film. I'm not convinced yet, but it was one of the ones that intrigued me when we were looking forward to 2014. So I'm still intrigued. What else stood out for you, Nate?
Just one more thing about Chef. Is it weird that like I want to see more of John Leguizamo?
No,
I really like that guy. I don't know why. I just like him.
He's a good guy.
He's dang likable. What else stood out? Man, not a lot, actually. There's a lot of trailers that I didn't care much about. Probably How to Train Your Dragon 2 is looking good. I really liked How to Train Your Dragon 1, so I'm excited about it for this one.
There's also We Are Marshall 2. They've retitled it When the Game Stands Tall, apparently. Also known as Remember the Titans. and any other sports film that you want to put out there. they played the trailer for that at draft day, and it just looks like your prototypical sports film again. It's hard for them to come up to reinvent the wheel there.
What's the most innovative sports movie you've ever seen?
Field of Dreams.
And it hasn't been topped ever since.
No. It's the best sports film ever.
Is that the If You Build It, They Will Come movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got ghosts in it, so.
Yeah. It's a sports film. I was like, we know how to redo things. We'll put ghost ball players in here.
Let's do a time-traveling sports movie.
And they followed the number one rule of making a sports film, and that was they cast Kevin Costner, and everything else seems to work out from that.
Just falls 20 into place. Years later, we're still doing it.
20 years later, every time someone does a sports film, they still call Kevin Costner first. I know maybe you guys aren't as intrigued by this one as I am, but maybe you are. But I definitely am excited to see what exactly they do with Jersey Boys.
Oh no, I'm excited for this one.
I
hate the music in this one. Like the guys, that guy, what's his name? The main
Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli. His voice is terrible. I don't know why it caught on. I mean, obviously,
people are throwing things at their computer screens right now.
I don't care. It's like he's whiny, and I don't want to hear it.
Pot. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is who the Jersey Boys is about. Obviously, Jersey Boys is a Broadway blockbuster. I know you can't really call Broadway stuff blockbuster, but it is the equivalent there. And the interesting part about this one is all of the people involved in Jersey Boys. You have Christopher Walken, I believe.
Yes.
Is playing a major role in that. And I'm trying to remember who is behind it. If it's Robert Redford or is it Clint Eastwood? Clint Eastwood is directing it.
Oh, yeah.
So you have Clint Eastwood directing a musical, which is starring Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And is about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. To me, that's enough for me to go see it.
That's fine, man. I do like Christopher Walken a lot. I want to see it just because, you know. It's a musical. I love musicals. So, we'll see. Also, in the trailer, everyone's talking straight to the camera, and I like that in a film. I don't know why. I think it's cool. Like, yes, break that fourth wall. I'm with you.
I'm with you. Other ones that seemed interesting to me, I thought The Immigrant looked like it could have potential there. Really don't want to explain too much, but you can watch the trailer by clicking on the link at the website. And then everybody has been excited, especially Dan, old friend from earlier NYR Weekly episodes. Movie Revolt was very much anticipating Gone Girl for 2014, and it finally released its first trailer starring Ben Affleck, and it looks like it is going to be every bit as good as Dan was hoping it would be. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see, but the trailer definitely looked interesting to me. Did you guys see the trailer for Gone Girl?
I did, and it just looked. I could have swore we had a movie just like that recently released.
It does.
Only a little bit less. It was the other one was a little less psychological, a little bit more social commentary or whatever. But I mean, it looks very similar to the one where it's like the husband and wife have their daughter or son go missing.
Right.
But I guess this one's like didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know, it looks intriguing, and for some reason Ben Affleck seems to do well every once in a while, really well on certain films. I don't know, well, like I said, I wasn't as excited as Dan was about this one, but I'll definitely go see it when it comes out. And then a couple maybe not so serious films, I guess. Walk of Shame.
Yeah, it looks legitimately funny.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a good laugh, maybe a date movie for somebody, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the only other ones that somewhat intrigued me was If I Stay and Third Person with Liam Neeson. That one looked interesting. I can't quite tell from the trailer, but it looks like we're getting a story from one person, and then you're seeing all the different people in his head or in his stories acting stuff out. I couldn't quite pinpoint it, but it definitely looked interesting. I've never seen anything about Third Person going up when we were leading up into 2014, so this is the first I've seen of it, and it stars Liam Neeson. So
you love Liam Neeson.
I do love Liam Neeson
so much. But that's cool. He's awesome.
But anything that you saw, Matt, that kind of struck out?
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't hear you guys talk about A Most Wanted Man with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yes.
Like, I like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I've seen very few things with him in it. But even more than that, I love Willem Dafoe. And I absolutely love Willem Dafoe as a German dude, as we just saw in Life Aquatic. So, like, it's going to be like that, only serious, which is, means less fun. But I'm actually interested. I don't like thrillers. I don't like being scared. I don't like jump cuts. I don't like thrillers and horror movies and things like that. But I will probably see A Most Wanted Man in theaters if I can get myself out to the theaters to see it.
Even if it's not Halloween.
Even if it's not Halloween.
Anything
Especially
else?
If it's not Halloween.
Anything else, Matt?
As I mentioned earlier, the newest X-Men trailer looks like it's got Blink, who is one of my favorite mutants, who I said is a lot like, or who I mentioned is a lot like Nightcrawler. So you don't really need Nightcrawler if you have her. But I mean, fans love Nightcrawler, so I'm glad she's in it. From the looks of it. I could be wrong. It could be another girl with similar face things that has similar powers.
So far, all the stuff released on X-Men has not taken down my excitement or my anticipation for that film whatsoever. It still is one of the films I'm most looking forward to in 2014, and this trailer just added to it.
See, I've been on the fence ever since. I first heard about Days of Future Past from a guy at work. He's like, yeah, it's like they're sending Wolverine into the past. And I'm like, that sounds dumb. And I'm not going to lie. Some of the premise points seem dumb. But after watching that trailer, seeing the Sentinels, seeing what they're doing with it, I think I'm actually interested for the first time. But I need to see First Class. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think if you had seen First Class, you'd be a little... I don't know. What is your opinion on the original three X-Men films?
The first X-Men movie was pretty good. The second one was slightly less good. And the third one was terrible.
Okay, so you're like most people as far as your ratings of those. I guess if you really liked the first film or some of the characters that you kind of got to know in that first set, and then if you've seen X-Men First Class, like I think that adds to the excitement of this. I think they did a great job casting for X-Men First Class, and I just like the blending that they're going to be doing of this, and I think it's clever to kind of erase some of the bad stuff that happened in that trilogy to kind of start fresh and have a cool little time travel way to get around that.
A very comic book explanation for why the movies are slightly different.
Exactly. Nate, what's your excitement level for X-Men Days of Future Past?
On a scale of what?
1 to 10.
Oh jeez, like a 7. Ah,
that's decent.
A little above average.
I think it might be good to see. no, but dude, seriously, let's talk about SwearNet. Why not?
Oh man, from the people that gave you what film did they give us?
Trailer Park Boys. It was a show in Canada.
Oh, it's a show.
You guys ever seen Trailer Park Boys?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was at least at one time on Netflix. It probably still is. I watched the first 3-4 episodes. Guy at work suggested it. It's a little awkward, but it's generally fun. You know, it's about what it sounds like. It's like a fake reality TV show, like The Office, following a guy who just gets out of jail and moves back to the old trailer park. And the shenanigans he and his old friends used to get up to, but he doesn't want to be with them anymore. Like, you know, jail actually turned him around, but they're like, no, man, we need to go drink it out in the trailer park and throw in bottle rockets.
So will SwearNet appeal to the same crowd that made the last Jackass film rake in the millions?
Yes, definitely.
Probably,
it's got that like really stupid and incredibly shocking humor value that some people find good. I don't know. I don't know. Comedies are hard.
Yeah,
comedies are hard for me.
All right, well, we'll have to see how all of those films do, and if you have any thoughts or opinions on any of the trailers that we mentioned or any of the ones that will be in our episode post, just feel free to comment on that page. And when we come back, we'll give you our thoughts on what a lot of people think is 2013's worst film.
Hey, hold it right there. I'm afraid I have to take you in. You hear me? Speak English, don't you?
Halt! By the authority granted me by the state of Texas, I'm hereby arresting you!
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
All right, thanks for sticking with us. And before we get to the main attraction for today, Nate, any movies that you saw outside of the main attraction in the last week or two that you wanted to mention or discuss real quickly on the show?
Sure. I've seen way too many movies that I can hardly remember. I know I saw Catching Fire. That one was eh. Megan's going to be mad at me. No, it was pretty average. I don't know. I felt like it took really, really long to get to the games, and then the games were actually really, like, lackluster. Because they had all these cool characters, one that sharpens her teeth to, like, bite you, and then they didn't even, like, do anything with her.
Like, this is the Hunger Games sequel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess for those people that saw the first one, you know, like the game has played a huge part and there was a lot of like different strategy and, you know, battle for survival type thing. And they were probably expecting more of that in the second one. And they just really don't give much screen time to the battle in the second one at all.
Yeah.
It's a lot more driving the story and a lot more kind of plot stuff. And then it gets to the actual Hunger Games and it seems like it's just over with.
Yeah. And then it totally ends with a dumb cliffhanger. So it's like the movie barely meant anything. I don't know.
Like, they have the Hunger Games every year?
Yeah. But they changed the rules. So, you know, the protagonist can be in it again, which he's not supposed to be in it.
Yeah, so basically, they do the... It's like it's an annual... I think it's every year. It's every year or every... So many years.
No, it's every year because there was the 75th year. So they did a special 75th year anniversary for the movie.
But I think one of the things that I like best about the first movie was the actual games and kind of the strategy that involved and kind of the alliances that formed or the backstabbing and the surviving. Like that kind of added a lot to it. And they had better characters for it in the second one, probably. More interesting characters to use in the second one, and they just kind of like bypass that whole thing. Like, we don't really have time to deal with this, so we're going to skip ahead. I'm not saying I hated the film, but I would have enjoyed more of the actual Hunger Game part of it if they had chose to do so. What else, Nate?
I saw The Help, which is pretty good. It's a good movie.
That got a lot of good reviews. I have not seen that yet.
It's got some fun, you know, like racist people getting their comeuppance, which is awesome. It's one of the main reasons why I love Django. I think Django did it a little bit better, but I don't know.
And inspired by our recent watching of Grand Budapest Hotel, you and Matt took the time to see Life Aquatic.
Yes.
And what was
really, really good. And not as good as Grand Budapest, but I still really liked it.
Matt, what about you?
Oh, this was like my fourth or fifth viewing. I finally bought it. Went to the local used DVD store, and this was the only Wes Anderson film they had. I love it. I mean, I couldn't remember many points. I had forgotten Willem Dafoe was entirely in it, which is weird because he's one of the principal characters, I would say. I love it. It's a great movie. I'll watch anything Wes Anderson does.
True fact.
Fair enough. What else, Nate? Anything else that you saw?
I
never asked.
Oh, I saw There Will Be Blood again. I watched that again with Megan.
He did what he said he wouldn't do, which is watch that film again.
Yeah, and I'm gonna watch it again with you, Matt, and I'm gonna watch it again with John and Madison, and I'm gonna watch it again with Robbie whenever I see him. All my friends are going to see it.
I hope I'm not the last one.
Dude, you're like the second one now.
Not counting myself and Megan.
Well, no, but you're like the third one then.
We'll watch it anytime happens, you want. I'm only the third one if it happens third, and that's the best I can do now.
Well, whatever. I still love you, Matt.
Nate, I forgot to ask what your opinion. I know you maybe at some points weren't paying super close attention to it, but I still think you got the gist of it. What was your overall opinion of Gladiator?
Oh yeah, I was dozing off, weren't I? I liked it. I don't think it was bad. I probably am not in. I can't really say either way. It was fine, I'm sure.
Kevin and I had a lot of fun without you that night.
We did.
I'm sorry.
Matt, what did you think of that film?
As I told you guys, and I've told a bunch of people now over the past weekend, was I originally rented Gladiator on VHS when it first came out from a movie rental store that used to exist back in the day. And I plugged that into my VHS player, and then I turned around and started playing like Diablo 2 on my computer instead of watching it while I played in the background. And it's one of the two movies I did that as a child. It was that and U571. I should really go and rewatch U571. So I got to correct a mistake I made as a child. It was not the movie I expected it to be. It was interesting. It was fun. I think for being a movie called Gladiator, they took a little too long to get into Gladiator matches at all. It was like over an hour before you get to see the first Gladiator match at all. Or even really talk about it. Other than that one point, I think it was really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen Joaquin Phoenix in anything before. So this is my first experience to him, 15 years later. Huh. And I thought he did a stellar job. And Kevin and I were talking about how, if they had just cast him as Anakin Skywalker in episode 2, which came out, 1 or 2 years later, like how much better that movie would be. No.
Gladiator came out in 2000, I thought.
I guess it would have been the same year, wasn't it? Because it wasn't in 97, 2000, 2003 for the new trilogy, the prequel trilogy.
I mean, it would have been able to be done. Like, they could have flip-flop.
Oh, yeah. You can have someone in two movies.
Sure.
It happens. Just ask Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's, like, 50 centing it out there. 50 Cent? Tupac. Tupac's the
yeah.
one.
I was like, 50 Cent's still alive, dude.
Yeah, he's doing what 50 Cent did, where he does a bunch of movies. What? Yeah, and then beyond that one, if anyone was following my Twitter, which I imagine they weren't when we were live tweeting, I was pointing out all the various things that were in common between Gladiator and the prequel trilogy.
Attack of the Clones came out in 2002. Gladiator 2000. So
yeah. I was gonna say they did 3 years apart for the prequel trilogy, just like the original trilogy. So
okay. 99, 2002, and 2005.
Yeah, I knew it was 99 for the first one.
But I never thought of it before, and it was like you just like turned a light bulb on. Like he would have been perfect as Anakin, because like you were saying, he has a way of like of whining and being like a sniveling little guy with not still being annoying. Like
he's a good actor.
That's probably the difference. But there was just so many things that you could, so many connections you could make between Gladiator and Star Wars in general, that it was kind of fun to keep that going as we watched the entire film. I really, really like Gladiator. I'm not a huge Russell Crowe fan, but that was basically for me, like that was his best film. I think there's some clever dialogue. There's some good action. And I'm just a sucker for the whole revenge type comeuppance angle. Where he tries to get back at what should have been rightfully his if Joaquin Phoenix hadn't suffocated his dad.
Did it remind you of The Count of Monte Cristo a little bit?
I mean, Count of Monte Cristo is so different. Yes, there's still that revenge angle, but the reason I like Count of Monte Cristo is because of the attention to detail and how every minute thing that happens in that film was chosen to happen, and it has a purpose that later either comes back around or is touched on. And I just love how all the little bits and pieces come together in Count of Monte Cristo on top of the revenge angle. This one's more of a revenge show with just some, you know, kick-ass fighting type stuff, and Russell Crowe being a gladiator, which is what he was meant to be, apparently.
That's cool.
So I enjoyed it. Great. You should have watched it. You're a jerk.
I'm sorry. I watched most of it. I watched the end. I woke up for the ending.
Yeah.
I was discussing the ending with someone over the weekend, and someone said Russell Crowe's death scene in Gladiator, not to spoil a film that's 15 years old, is very similar to his death scene in Man of Steel. Not to spoil a story that's 80 years old. Because, I mean, Jor-El died, what, in, like, the 40s? I heard he get, like, I know I can't remember Man of Steel. It's been 10 months since I saw it. The idea that, like, he gets hit in a similar spot and then has the exact same, like, rigid body motion, I would need to go and rewatch Man of Steel to see.
Maybe we can just get a montage or a collection of all of Russell Crowe's death scenes, because I think he's died in half of his films.
I've actually watched, who played the Doctor Who that was in the middle of the War Doctor? John Hurt. I watched a YouTube video of, like, every single John Hurt death scene. It was awesome.
Dude, if you watch all of the Sean Bean death scenes, it's so brutal.
Sean Bean?
He was Boromir.
Oh, okay.
He's really good at dying.
Yeah.
He's just generally really good at actor, and he dies a lot. He's got, like, an 80% death rate or something.
I love the idea that, like, actors have, like, high death rates in movies.
No, there was someone else that was making major headlines, like, a few weeks ago about never surviving any of the films. Oh, the guy from Lost, the kind of the cowboy guy.
Sawyer?
Yeah, apparently he dies in almost everything he's ever been in. And they were talking about that, like, that's a thing now. He just basically dies in every film. So maybe there's a clip out there.
He's typecasted.
Yeah.
He's a specialist.
He's the guy that dies. Matt, were there any films that you saw over the last couple weeks?
Actually, there was one movie that I actually watched all by myself.
The Room?
No. Although you say that, and, like, my immediate thought was, like, why would I watch that by myself, followed by, well, if it has director commentary, because there's no way I'm going to get anyone to watch it again with me for another year. Like, I'll have to go and look at the case and see if it has commentary, because I would watch that. I finished, because I have no time to do anything. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. But I watched Trigun Badlands Rumble over the course of, like, 3 weeks. Like, you know, 10 minutes here and there. I recorded on my parents' DVR at my parents' house, like, 3 months ago when they aired it on Cartoon Network. Actually, it's probably, like, 6 months ago now. I think it was sometime around Christmas. And I've just been watching it piecemeal, and I finished it finally. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, if, you know, it's an anime movie based on a TV show, or an anime TV show. So, I mean, if you watch the anime, watch the movie, because it's just more of what you loved, and it's set in the middle so that all the characters can be there. Yeah, it was fun. It was great.
And I have watched no films outside of the films that I've watched with either Matt or Nathan, I think.
Oh, no!
I don't have a place this time.
What, did we forget one?
Do you want to watch a movie now?
I will consider it.
Oh, wait, no, we watched the Daniel Day-Lewis and...
Oh, we watched Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that time that happened.
Sorry, we watched Gangs of New York, and Gangs of New York is a great film, and Daniel Day-Lewis is a great actor. I actually prefer Gangs of New York over There Will Be Blood. Nathan prefers There Will Be Blood over Gangs of New York, but I think true. I like the historic stuff they throw in there about New York and kind of the origins of the city.
You really love period pieces, right?
Yeah. And I not a huge fan of Leonardo DiCaprio, but I think him and Daniel Day-Lewis did a great job together. And, I mean, yeah, you could cast someone else besides Cameron Diaz in the film probably, but Gangs of New York is just an excellent film.
Yep.
It's got a lot of badass action in it and some crazy death scenes. And guess who else it has in it? Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
If you put Liam Neeson and Daniel Day-Lewis in the film, it has no chance of being bad. I'm sorry.
Zero.
Daniel Day-Lewis has been in like 5 movies in the last 10 years.
He knows how to pick them.
Yep.
What was your overall opinion of Gangs of New York, Nate?
I liked it a lot. I feel most movies are way too long. Like, there's always something that can be cut, I feel, with movies. Especially when they reach... That movie was, like, what, almost 3 hours long?
Yeah, it was pretty long.
It was insane. I don't know.
It blew your mind because it was like an old-fashioned VHS tape where you get halfway through the film and the screen stops and it says, please put in the second DVD.
How many VHS tapes actually had that? Like, Titanic?
Titanic did.
Any film, yeah, any VHS tape that was, any movie that was more than 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, too long. It's not that it wasn't.
Because it was always sold in that huge pack, that double pack, yeah. And it was like, that's annoying.
Oh, Return of the King was a two VHS.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Movies are.
Oh, Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind had like an intermission and everything.
Yeah, we can go on with this if we want to.
All right, fine. I'm just saying. Really long movie. I don't know if it needed to be that long, if they could have told a tighter story, but, you know, whatever. Movies are really long.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but yell really loudly into the microphone. I did see a movie by myself again. I saw two. I did it twice.
You lied to us earlier.
Well, Nate knew. I re-saw Captain America.
Oh, too. Yeah. With Trent, right?
Yeah. I've got a group of guys that I go to all of the Marvel movies with, like, but the Marvel Universe ones, not like Spider-Man or X-Men. And I have gone to almost every Marvel movie with these guys, and one of them couldn't go, so I went with him the next weekend.
What did you feel about your second viewing?
I have to say it's maybe reading all the comments swayed me a little bit. I think it's better than I thought it was. I would say that it might be in the top three. I think it might be better than the original one, or it's a very close competitor to the original one. I don't think it's better than Iron Man 3, and I don't think it's better than the Avengers, and I'm never going to sway on that, no matter how many people yell at me for it. But it's good, and like if you haven't seen it, why?
I think most people – how much money has it made yet?
$200 million.
It's pretty good.
That's not a bad day. All right, well then, getting into a film that all three of us got to watch together due to a suggestion from Nathan's woman. Just wanted to give her a shout out.
That's not what you say about people.
What do you mean?
I don't know if she wants her name out there.
I don't own her.
Well, he already said her name once.
Oh, that's true. Nathan's fiance, Megan, suggested that we watch The Lone Ranger, and we did. And we had lots of comments on it throughout the film. And lots of things that could have been done to make that film better.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We were talking about just redoing the whole movie with an edit. Like, you could cut so much out of that movie and make a way better movie. And then I actually went to a website where they have fan edits. I think it was called, like, fanedit.org or whatever. Or .com or .net. Something. And they had, like, 40 freaking fan edits of this movie where they went in detail of, like, everything that they took out. And it was, like, took out all the Johnny Depp scenes of the... Like, in the future, where he's, like, talking to a kid, took out all of this, all of that, and it was like, yeah, that's happening.
That would definitely be the first thing that you would do if you were trying to fix this movie, is you would take out all of the flash-forward sequences, because they served absolutely no purpose.
Zero.
And they were creepy.
They were weird.
They were weird and creepy, and then at one point something from the future transports back into the past, dude's peanuts or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was so weird.
That's just weird. But I think it could have been done right. It could have been done in a better way. They just missed that by about 1,000 things.
Yeah. The last 20 minutes, the last action scene, the movie felt right. But everything around it was completely wrong.
Yeah, like, this movie should have been Pirates of the Caribbean 5, The Wild, Wild West. That's what this movie should have been. It should have been silly, it should have been fun, it should have been, like, but the last 20, 30 minutes, that last action sequence was just exactly that. But before it was, like, Disney does There Will Be Blood. It's just everyone getting shot and murdered and crushed and maimed.
Yeah, I think they took themselves too seriously, and they were trying to make something that they didn't know how to make. And it just didn't work. And if they just would have, I don't think, Matt, you mean that they should have made like something that resembles the Pirates of the Caribbean because it has Johnny Depp and et cetera, but something that just had that feel or that more of that tone to it.
Yeah.
And I think that
it needed
would have
a lighter
so much
tone.
Better. Yeah, it needed to not take itself seriously whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, it's a film serial from the 40s. I might be wrong, that it was just like, bad guy, good guy, I'll fight. Yeah, it's like Street Fighter.
That is a reference like I would not expect to hear out of you.
Street Fighter?
No, just a random reference. I'm going to start calling you somebody else.
Don't.
I got that joke.
Matt, what else could they have changed in this film, or what other parts did you dislike, or what parts did you like about this film?
I think I covered it. I think I liked the parts that were a lot like a fun action movie.
Are you okay with the casting of Tonto and the Lone Ranger?
I had that knee-jerk reaction of Johnny Depp's playing Tonto, and he's playing him just like Johnny Depp plays everything. Like, that bothered me at first, but seeing it, I think I had the same reaction as I did to watching The Green Hornet, when I watched The Green Hornet a few years ago, which was, hey, this is a reimagining, and I don't know the source material at all, so I'm going to take it just at face value, and I enjoyed myself, although with this movie I enjoyed myself a lot less. So I think, I if they had just done just, like, the first, you know, the first action scene, the last action scene, and just those two, like, done the whole movie like that, where it was Johnny Depp plays a Johnny Depp-style character in another movie, and it's fun and quirky, and you get, like, the predictable, like, the girl throws a rock at the villain ducks, and it hits the main hero in the face, and the villain doesn't even know the main hero's there, ha-ha! Like, things like that, that movie could have been amazing. Yeah. Or at least fun and enjoyable.
Nate, do you think Johnny Depp could have pulled off a good Tonto given different writing / directing?
I wouldn't say he didn't pull off a... Well, yeah, he could have. He definitely could have. He's a good actor. I don't care, like, Johnny Depp is good for a reason. Like, he does well, and he takes all of his roles, like, super serious.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Like, yeah, definitely just the writing and the editing and the script wasn't up to par for what it needed to be.
Yeah, I don't know if I would hire a lot of the powers that be from that film to do anything that I was in charge of or I was wanting to be great. Because it seems like they had the pieces there and they had, like, the, you know, Lone Ranger, that could play, and Johnny Depp involvement, that could play to audiences, and it's from Disney, so that'll get some fans going or whatever, but then everything else was bad. Mm-hmm. Except
and Johnny Depp had a bird on his head.
In the last
He's like, I want to do this movie, but I won't do it unless I got a bird on my head.
The bird didn't bother me. That's actually one of the few things that was kind of sad or depressing that I liked was the bird. I don't know.
I can see that. I don't think there is anybody that would like defend this film, but if you want to defend this film and tell us why it's why we're being too hard on it, feel free. Or if you want to give your own personal edits on what should have been done differently, you can let us know that too. But I can see why it came across as one of the worst films from last year. I get why it got the bad reviews, and I can think that we can rest assured that there will not be a sequel from Disney on this one. They lost a little bit too much money. All right, as far as coming attractions go, there was some stuff that just came out last week, just in case you missed it. Not a lot, though. Let's see, main things here. Philomena, Oscar-nominated film came out last week. The combo pack for Ride Along. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which did not do well last year like everyone thought it would. And those all came out last week, and coming out here this week, not a lot. The Spectacular Spider-Man, the complete series. Spider-Man 2 Remastered.
The another Betty Page documentary. Those are always interesting.
Most of the other films I am not familiar with, so not a lot to go out and purchase. The Nut Job also, 3D combo pack came out last week, so if you have kids, maybe you can pick that one up and see what that's like. We talked about Heaven Is For Real came out this last week, Haunted House 2, Transcendence. Those were probably the biggest ones. And then speaking of that other film, Trailer Park Boys 3 Don't Legalize It in Canada came out in theaters last week. Coming out next week, Brick Mansions starring Paul Walker, The Other Woman, The Quiet Ones. And that's about it.
Oh.
So yeah. Everyone is still avoiding. It's not like it wasn't planned this way, guys. Captain America came out, and then films decided to try to take a break. I guess Transcendence rolled the dice and tried to compete with it, and it lost. But most films are not going to try to come out right after one of these major films come out.
I want to go see The Raid this weekend, The Raid 2, but I guess it's not going to be playing in any of our theaters anymore.
It's been hard for us to see certain films. We had to wait a long time to get Grand Budapest Hotel. Dom Hemingway is still not playing anywhere near us. The Raid 2 is not playing near us, and it's not like we're in the middle of nowhere.
We're the third biggest city in the state.
Yeah, so bring these films to us. We wanna check them out.
Seriously, bro.
Yeah.
As far as the credit conversation goes from 2 weeks ago, we asked as far as DC, was it DC characters that we were asked? No.
DC, it was what DC rock character, but that was the previous one.
No, that was the previous week. Which Marvel character do you want to see in a future Marvel movie is what we asked.
Yeah.
What do you want to see most? What do you want to see least as far as Marvel characters? We did get quite a few comments. Some of the names mentioned out there, MODAK.
MODAK is great.
We had someone that wanted to see that character.
Someone said Cloak and Dagger, and I know that there's talks of some of the Hell's Kitchen's characters, that the Marvel Knights guys. Isn't one of the Netflix series supposed to be like Iron Man and Power Man and Iron Fist?
Right.
So Cloak and Dagger are close to that. I wouldn't mind seeing that personally. Like Power Man, Iron Fist, Cloak and Dagger, and then throw in a new Daredevil, and then have them all team up to take down the Kingpin or something. That'd be a good series of things.
Doctor Strange got a mention.
Yep.
Yes.
Namor, is that how you say it?
Namor.
Namor.
According to the one, someone posted the thing about the Venn diagram of who owns who in the Marvel movie universes. Uh-huh. And Namor was somehow off on his own, even though it's weird because it's like NBC Universal's got Namor, if that picture is correct, which is really weird because he's traditionally a Fantastic Four villain. He's a mutant and has been part of the Avengers, but could also be in the Marvel movie universe since he's a mutant. But it's like NBC Universal owns him, so.
Interesting. I have to check out that Venn diagram. Fing Fang Foom and Ego the Living Planet were mentioned a little bit. We also asked, which characters do you not want to see? And this person said, just don't do another Hulk or Punisher movie. I can somewhat see that.
Someone said Dazzler, which I think if Jem does really well and does what Nate said, being like a neo-80s movie where it's like they just don't care, like, and they don't do a modern update, like if they could do a Dazzler movie like that, that could be interesting.
For sure.
And I remember talks of Alias being one, and I think they could do Dazzler similar to how Alias was done, where it's like they do one movie like X-Men First Class that's set in the 80s and she's just the silly rock star that's also a mutant, and then they cut in the second movie and it's like two, or even halfway through the first movie, and it's 2014 and it's like there's no place for you 80s rock star superhero and she's trying to find her place in the world. I think they could do a good Dazzler.
I don't think it would draw the same audience as the Avengers or X-Men.
Maybe that's something they should do.
It's an untapped market.
Yeah.
Another one that they said that they didn't want to see, Crimson Dynamo. They said that that has been done to death as far as that style of character, so they did not want to see that. But they did think that Baron Zemo or Kang would be good ones to see.
Oh, Kang would be great. I'm surprised they haven't done Baron Zemo. Like, I'm surprised they didn't tease him in the first Cap movie so that we could have him in Cap 3.
I'm trying to see if there's anybody that we missed. You mentioned Cloak and Dagger and Dazzler. So those are all the mentions as far as Marvel characters that you would like or would not like to see. As far as next week's question, Nate?
I want to make a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
No one mentioned him. And I think another one that's untapped market, and since Disney is usually traditionally aimed at children or younger audiences, they should do a Runaways movie. Like it's got an almost all teenage crowd, and it's got a raptor as one of the members of the team. That's just literally a raptor.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great, fun, quirky kids movie that'd be in Marvel Universe that they could tie their universe to their traditional crowd. And I think they can do it really well.
That sounds fun.
All right. Nate, do you have a question for next week?
No, should I?
No, that's all right. Yeah. I actually have one. I came all up right. with just a second ago. But we had a couple different news about a couple different stories about Star Wars, some people that would and would not be appearing. My question here is, we already know that Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Leia and Chewbacca, as well as the droids, will be appearing in Episode 7. If you can only have one other existing character from one of the previous Star Wars films, if you can only have one more in Episode 7, which character do you most want to see?
Are we including the animated movie?
We're including... Sure.
Okay, I'm just... because they haven't had a live... action appearance, yes. So like that could give a different element of
I'd love to
see this character done in live action, so I'm going to choose them over someone from the original trilogy.
Yeah, they kind of appeared in the animated form. They could even be someone from like the cartoon series if you want, I guess. But yeah, just any, if you can only pick one other Star Wars character that we've already seen that's going to have an appearance in Episode 7, who do you want to see most? So that is our question for next week. And I guess that does it for our double edition here of MWR Weekly. Thanks for joining us here, and you can contact us in the following ways. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Go to iTunes. Listen to the show on iTunes and give us a rating. We would much appreciate any type of 3, 4, or 5-star rating on iTunes and a little write-up so that we can read it on the air. And
Not a 2 or a 1?
No, we don't want any 2s or 1s.
Come on.
You can visit the episode post at geekcastradio.com. That's where most of the commenting goes on, and you can be part of that discussion. You can search us out on Facebook, search for Geekcast Radio Network, and you can also follow us on Twitter. The network name is @GeekcastRadio. You can hashtag MWire if you want to directly comment on that. You can reach me at Optimus Solo. You can reach Nate.
At Adolfo Shabadoo.
And you can reach Matt.
At Fridley Scent.
So that is it for us. And remember, for all things movies, keep tuned to MWR Weekly.